This is Jenny.
And this is Amanda.
And we're from Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
Every second and fourth Tuesday of the month here on WGXC Acre Hudson Catskill, 90.7 FM.
If you like radio that painstakingly stitches together seemingly unlike music in delightfully unpredictable ways, then check out WGXC's Overlooked, the second and fourth Tuesday of each month, just after the new news. You'll hear underheard and overlooked music, ancient to future, from every corner of the Omniverse. That's Overlooked on 90.7 WGXC.
Here's a PSA from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about what to do if you encounter ICE. In our community, knowledge is power, so let's talk about your rights. You don't have to open the door, and you have the right to stay silent. Not sign anything, and in New York, you can record an interaction with law enforcement. If an agent comes with a warrant, it must be signed by a judge to be valid. In public, make sure to stay calm, don't run, and never lie or show false documents. If you're detained, you don't have to sign anything without a lawyer. ICE can use your words against you. So stay silent and ask for legal help. To stay informed, visit our social media account at CCSMNY, and if you are interested in learning more about your rights, call Columbia County Sanctuary Movement at 518-303-3848, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 p.m. And if you're approached by ICE agents or see them in the community, call CCSM's Rapid Response Line at 518-291-9386.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Rick Scalano and Karen Hummerson of Glenmont, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Mind and craft. I got a beacon in a jungle, diamonds in a tunnel. You and me go mining, so gone and come to my cave. Okay. Go craft a diamond pickaxe, craft it for me. Turn around and drop the diamond pickaxe, drop it for me. I'll build a beach house on an island, place down blocks of diamond. Notch apples for dinner, mob's gonna be frightened. I'll drop a diamond for you, drop a diamond for you. Said I'll drop it if you want it, take my armor if you want it now. Jump in the minecart truck, put some powered rails on it. Any ore you want, I can dig, break and mine it. You deserve the diamonds, you deserve the gold. And I'm gonna mine it for you. Notch apple shining so bright. Minecraft boat racing on ice. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Flex by the fire at night. Goat, sheep, and snowman all white. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. I'm tossing, searching in a mine shaft, finding diamonds real fast. I'm breaking with a big blast, sending gun powder crafty and D-block. I will never dig straight down since it'll kill me. I promise when I mine, gold's a guarantee. Trading in the village, everything's so expensive. Take a look at that nitwit, now tell me who's obsessive. Is it him?
Is it him?
Is it me?
Is it me?
Say it's us.
Say it's us.
And I'll agree, bestie. Jump in the minecart truck, put some powered rails on it. Any ore you want, I can dig, break and mine it. You deserve the diamonds, you deserve the gold. Apple shining so bright. Minecraft boat racing on ice. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Flexed by the fire at night. Goat, sheep, and snowman all white. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine.
Tell me, should we mine?
let's mine diamonds. Let's go mine some diamonds. For that crystal blue, Notch Apple shining so bright. Minecraft boat racing on ice. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Flex by the fire at night. Go cheap and snowman all white. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine. Diamonds and gold are what I mine, are what I mine.
I have these really cool gourds. So not a pumpkin, but a gourd. These are beautiful, and as they dry, they're going to become kind of a beige color, and eventually they'll dry from the inside out. You'll hear the little seed shaking in there. Shapes and sizes and colors. You can put them in a bowl just to give you a good fall or autumnal look. More of the littles, we have these really cute white ones, and I really like the idea of that you can spray paint them. You can use them as a centerpiece. You can use them in the middle of your plates during holiday meals, just as a gorgeous little something to make it look a little more seasonal. We have these beautiful long-stemmed ones as well. So many different ways to use these. You can mass them. You can singly put them in a planter, as I mentioned. Just gorgeous. We have warty pumpkins. These are sometimes called knuckleheads. We call them warty minions. We call them warty pumpkins. They are gorgeous. They start with this green kind of weirdness on the outside. Eventually it'll turn orange, so the entire pumpkin is orange and bumpy. Do not walk away from these. So next up we have the pumpkin or squash that's as cute to look at as it is fun to say. These are cookie goose. These are considered or reputed to be some of the best tasting squash. They are so gorgeous, so rustic and really unique looking. They're also small. We don't have them much bigger than about this big here. So you can buy a couple of these. You can use them as decorations, and then later on, as long as they don't get nicked or anything on the bottom, these pumpkins will store for a super long time, maybe even till next spring. As long as they're cured well, you can cook with them throughout the winter holidays. So next up, we have this table full of color. We're gonna start with our grizzly bear pumpkin. It is gorgeous. This one is called the Rembrandt pumpkin, probably because it just looks so artistic, but I love the colors, and again, the rusticness of this pumpkin is so unique, so rustic, so cool, and ready for your holiday table. Plunk that in the middle of some beautiful greens. For all of your holiday cooking, but also, again, just a beautiful centerpiece. Ooh, he's so big. Just use it to kind of set the table, and then maybe you can can it or freeze it or do whatever you like for future meals. Okay, we have some beautiful, super heavy of these romantic French fairy tale types. These are great for decorating. They're also really good for cooking with. And what you can do is stack them up. A lot of people love using the different colors, stacking them up outside their door like a little pumpkin cairn. It's a great idea. This is a blue Jarrahdale. We also have another blue variety. It's very similar, but a little bit more square. And with the white ones, of course, we do have the flat ones, as well as the really cute little ghosty white ones that are round. I cannot leave this video without showing you my personal favorite. Last year and this year, the winner for me is Tycoon. I love the green and the yellow. I think it's different and unique. I love the long shape. We also have this huge supply of the Big Mac varieties, which are the ones that are really gonna wow your entire neighborhood and set the stage for your Halloween adventures. Thanks so much for joining us. I would love to welcome you to rogersgardens.com. You can also join us on all of our social media channels. We have Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and of course, our fabulous YouTube channel where you can
cultivars of the same species, Cucurbita pepo, except for two that we'll get into later. Cucurbita means gourd, so yes, pumpkins are gourds, and the Cucurbita group includes basically all fruits that we think of as squash. So back to pumpkins. While they originated in the Americas along with other gourds, they've since spread around the world. The U.S. remains their cultural home, and billions of pounds of pumpkins are produced in the U.S. every year. The top five pumpkin producing states are Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and California. Pumpkins are planted in early July, require lots of water and warm temperatures, and are harvested in September and October. Most pumpkins weigh 6 to 18 pounds, are orange because of carotenoid compounds, lichen carrots, and are packed with vitamin A. Pumpkins can be divided into three groups based on their uses: field pumpkins, decorative pumpkins, and prize pumpkins. Field pumpkins are by far the most commonly seen pumpkin during the fall season. The Connecticut field pumpkin is said to be the original pumpkin that Native Americans grew. Many cultivars have been developed from it, including the standard jack-o'-lantern type varieties that you can find in stores. These types of pumpkins have been selected for thin skin and a large hollow seed cavity, making them perfect for carving. The smaller pie pumpkins, or sugar pumpkins, are also said to be derived from the Connecticut field, but they've been selected for lots of sweet fruit and a small seed cavity, which makes them the number one choice for made-from-scratch pumpkin pie. Decorative pumpkins are the field pumpkin's wild cousins. They're less popular for carving or baking than field pumpkins, but they don't have to be used as decorations. The knucklehead is a warty pumpkin that I think would make a great jack-o'-lantern. The blue doll can be roasted and used in savory dishes. And the flat white Boarford is a surprisingly perfect choice for pumpkin pie. There are literally dozens of pumpkins that fall into this category, including the tiny miniature pumpkins, Jack B. Little and Baby Boo. Prize pumpkins are cultivars of Cucurbita maxima, the giant gourd species. These are the huge pumpkins grown for the wow factor. The most popular is the prize winner. The largest pumpkin record is held by the Atlantic Giant, and there's a range of varieties in between. Even small prize pumpkins tend to weigh over 50 pounds. Stores and farm stands do sell prize pumpkins, so you don't have to grow your own to have one of these monsters. Lastly, let's take a look at an outlier, the pumpkin from Cucurbita muscata. I'm talking about the Dickinson pumpkin. This type of pumpkin is a different species, like the prize pumpkins, but it's not available to the general public, so it doesn't fit into any of the other categories. So what's it used for? Well, you may be surprised to learn that this cousin of butternut squash is in fact used to make canned pumpkin puree. That's right, the pumpkin pie you've been eating your whole life is not even made from real pumpkin. Sort of. The definition of pumpkin is considered murky by the USDA, so food companies are allowed to get away with labeling this overgrown squash pumpkin wannabe as 100% pumpkin. The Dickinson pumpkin is popular for making pumpkin puree because it's big, it has a whole lot of fruit, it tastes good, and the appearance doesn't really matter if you're just mashing it up anyway. Pumpkin enthusiasts will argue that it's not a true pumpkin, but honestly, it's a big orange ribbed gourd. It looks like a pumpkin to me. So that's been a quick look at pumpkins and the different types you can find around us during the season.
This is really fun. That looks peeled, I guess.
But maybe the whole thing is peeled.
I actually don't think that this should be peeled. I think that's inappropriate.
I'm not going to peel it, because we're going to scoop out whatever's in the middle.
Get it ready for the de-seeding.
So great, so now we're going to de-seed the gourd.
How do I get in here?
I think I gotta cut it. This is my knife of preference, but wouldn't work with this butternut squash.
I think it might be best to cut it kind of long ways in half.
Oh, wow, maybe we should peel this.
This is hard.
That is not working. Let's try another weapon here.
Oh, that's what that does. Oh, that's not good.
I need help.
No.
De-seed.
De-seeded?
You said de-seed. I don't see a seed in here.
What the hell? Where are the seeds?
I don't think there's seeds in here.
No seeds.
There's no seeds.
There are no seeds in it.
There are no seeds.
Squashes don't have seeds.
I still don't see seeds, so we're gonna keep cutting.
It's like looking for Jimmy Hoffa's body.
Are the seeds down here?
Oh, the seeds in the bottom.
There's your seeds. So now, how do you get rid of seeds?
So we can use a little knife, and you can go around the edges.
That's the... Ew. Okay.
It's like a little drama.
Run it under a tap, and that helps get the seeds out a little bit.
Get all that gunk out. It's just like, I'm making a mess.
And I always leave that kind of hairy, stringy stuff in there, because when that's cooked, I think that actually tastes really good.
Skin, seeded, the squash.
I like to toast these seeds. Don't you waste these seeds!
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to peel and de-seed a butternut squash. These things are notoriously difficult to deal with, and I wish that I could tell you that I had some crazy trick that's going to make it really easy. Most people, when they hear peel, are going to grab a vegetable peeler like this, and they're just going to start peeling this squash. And that's fine, but you may find that you need to go over it two or three times to get through the white pithy part in between the skin and the actual meat of the butternut squash itself. So I'm gonna show you another method here. Both of them are perfectly acceptable, but it really just depends on what you find easier. So what I'm gonna do is I'm going to trim both the top and the bottom of the squash. I've got this nice flat surface, okay, so that I can come in here and I can split my squash right down the center, and it's not going to roll away from me. There is the seeds. This is a thing that a lot of people have trouble with. I'm in the inside now. I don't want this thing sliding away from me, okay? So I'm just going to throw a pair of gloves on. I'm going to go ahead and scoop the inside out. Now, a regular old soup spoon works fine. An ice cream scoop does a pretty good job as well. Larger spoon, whatever you have, is fine. You're just going to get in there. It's just like when you were a kid and you are hollowing out a pumpkin. And in fact, it even kind of smells the same. Then what I like to do is just cut this into slightly more manageable size pieces, okay? Just so that it's not getting away from me. And again, I just do it a little bit at a time. And then instead of using a vegetable peeler, I use a paring knife to do this, because if you look closely here, you're gonna see there's a pretty thick layer. So what I do is I set it on a flat surface, okay? And then I just come around the squash with my paring knife, and I just trim off both the pith and the skin all at one time. So that's it. So I have a de-seeded and peeled butternut squash using both either a paring knife or a peeler, depending on your preference.
god. Apple god. Sponge god. Cucumber. Let's rice it again. Bottle god.
K-A is how you pronounce and spell those. A lot of our little Christmas ornament ones, these are the banana gourds.
Make a lot of snowmen or Santa Claus out of those.
We do see a lot of those out of those, as well as the tall banana gourds that we have here. We'll cut these off and do some spirit dolls out of those as well. Both very popular ones. Next we have the mini bottles. They just look like a tiny snowman, again popular with the Christmas ornaments, and very dense little gourd that works very good.
So we could live or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Similar to the mini bottles, we have the mini kettle gourds. Again, a hard shell variety, very dense shell. A lot of people use these for ornaments too. We also have then the spoon gourds. Now these are part of the ornamental family. So these are the pretty colorful ones that you see around Thanksgiving time. They're often waxed, sold in the grocery stores, but then they eventually rot on you after a couple months. These we let dry, they turn brown, and then they're ready to work on. The only downside with these is they're, because they are an ornamental variety, they are a thinner gourd too. So you can't carve, you can do light wood burning on them, but no carving. Same thing goes for the crown of thorn gourd. These are a unique gourd, but very thin. Unique floral arrangements, we see a lot of these made into.
I still see the color a little bit of this one, like we have
it. Yeah, there's a few there.
dish I make. Just walk into your pantry or open your pantry door. Look at the pasta possibilities. You can even put a blindfold on and just pick one. That's how versatile this recipe is. So I just added some pancetta to a skillet with olive oil and butter. And the reason this is a PDQ recipe is I'm using butternut squash that was already prepped. And I got this in the produce section of the supermarket, which is a revelation because if anyone has ever cooked with a butternut squash and prepped it from scratch, you know how long it takes. It can be a bit of a pain. So I'm adding some chopped red onion. So pancetta, butternut squash, red onion, olive oil, butter. Look how delicious this looks already. So now I've just got to let this cook for about 8 minutes. The butternut squash is starting to soften and get little brown edges, and that pancetta is getting sort of crispy. I love pancetta, which is basically
bacon.
An Italian bacon. So it has delicious flavor. It's not quite as like strong and smoky and bacony as the bacon we know. So it's great for a pasta dish like this. Okay, moving on to the next stage of the pasta sauce. I'm going to add some garlic and fresh thyme and sun-dried tomatoes. I love this sauce because it's not heavy, but it does have a lot of wonderful, luscious ingredients. Look at that. How yummy. So now the next little stage of ingredients, bagged kale. This has already been torn, washed, loved on, hugged, so it's ready to go. And then I'm going to go ahead and add Parmesan cheese on top of the kale. I'm going to save a little bit for the top, for the garnish, as we like to say in the Drummond Ranch kitchen. Okay, so Paige, as you can see, the kale is kind of starting to wilt a little bit. But what I love about kale is it doesn't really wilt very fast. Like if you use spinach, you just have basically a couple minutes before it really wilts. So the pasta goes in. Oh, I forgot to add wine.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I'm just going to add it now because there's no way I'm going to let this go. Listen.
Ooh.
It's the sound of sin and deliciousness right there. And then I'm going to add pasta water. Usually you would add the wine after you add the kale and Parmesan. So it's okay to add it a little bit late. Better late than never, right, guys?
Right.
Okay, so now I'm going to turn the heat down and start stirring this together. And you still want to cook it a little bit so that wine and pasta water kind of starts to thicken. And look, oh, my word. So the last thing I'm going to add, I think it's the last thing. You never know with me. I'm going to squeeze in some lemon just to brighten things up. Mm. To me, there's just nothing about this dish that isn't perfect. I would make this for myself on a Monday night, a Tuesday afternoon, a Saturday morning. You didn't laugh enough. Okay, and then some black pepper. So then I've got some toasted pine nuts, and I'm going to sprinkle them over. And all I did was just put pine nuts in a dry skillet over kind of medium heat and just shook the skillet around for about 5 minutes, and it kind of makes them light and golden. And
thank you.
cook as I check out my veggies. Oh, yeah. This is exactly what I'm looking for. Some great roasty color. So I'll transfer this right into my blender. Now to help this come together, I'll pour in 1.5 cups of low sodium. And now that my pasta is just about done cooking, I'm gonna ladle out some of the pasta water. I'll pour in half of it now, and then reserve the other half in case I need to thin out the sauce later. Okay, time to blend. Okay. Oh yeah, that's really, really velvety. And it's gonna get super creamy once I add the cheese. I'll set this aside for a sec while I drain the pasta. I'll return this to the stove. It looks good already, but come on, cheese makes everything better. I have sriracha for drizzling later, and then 2 cups of shredded sharp cheddar, which I love with this because sharp cheddar is so loud and punchy and flavorful. Butternut squash is more mild-mannered, so, you know, opposites attract. I'll sprinkle this in gradually and just allow it to melt. In goes the last bit of cheese. Okay, that is one luxurious sauce. I'm going to give it a taste just to make sure that all the seasonings are in line. Oh my god, that's seriously amazing. It's like the best butternut squash soup there ever was because it's so cheesy. Time for the pasta.
Perfect for a meatless Monday. It also is a great freezer meal because we're making them into spirals. You can individually freeze the spirals and then just have them to pop in to make a quick weeknight dinner.
I love it.
Because this is a little labor intensive, you'll see. Jeff, I'm going to have you continue to dice up our butternut squash here. You don't have to do anything with this one. It's just here
for
good looks.
Good.
So I like them a small dice, and we're going to roast those in the oven. I've got my pan here to start cooking our veg that goes into the filling. So some minced onion. And I like to cut this up pretty fine and just cook them just for a couple minutes.
We made USAA for homeowners who like being ready. That's why we have...
squash puree.
Are we gonna puree this or is it gets roasted?
No, I'm just roasting it,
okay.
It and keeping it whole.
Oh, wait,
I don't think I've seen butternut squash puree yet in my grocery store. I'm not probably even paying attention.
It's right around where the pumpkin is. You could use canned pumpkin in this too if you just wanted the whole thing to be creamy. I like the texture of having pieces of the butternut squash. All right, so I'm gonna add to this some chopped up mushrooms. So these are creminis that I've finely chopped. You could use white buttons. You could use a mixture. The sky's the limit with your mushrooms. And cook those just until all that water comes out of them. And then adding to it some garlic.
That's a lot. I like that.
Yeah, I like a lot of garlic in this. I think that mushrooms just take on that garlic flavor so well. And then some nice fall herbs. You know, just kind of watch it. 425 degrees.
Got it.
All right, and I'm going to add a little bit of pepper.
I also think when you're involving squash pasta, it can get a little sweet, even if you don't put sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're
right. Those herbs, that sage, the garlic, keeps it savory.
Yeah, totally. Brings it on over.
Mushrooms, the kale. The kale doesn't stand a chance in here.
It's really just there for decoration.
Yeah. I think you're cute with your window
Butternut squash is a perfect thing for risotto with saffron. The saffron's really spicy, and the butternut squash is really sweet. When you're peeling butternut squash, you want to use a nice, sharp peeler, not those sort of vegetable peelers that you find in the hardware store. You want something really good, and this one's really sharp. This is the quickest way I find to peel it. Just peel the entire outside, and then get a really good, big, sharp knife, major knife. Cut it in half. Keep your fingers out of the way. Just like that. Cut off the end like that. So stand it up. Cut it in half. You can boil this, but instead, I'm going to actually roast it. I think it really brings out the sweetness, sort of caramelizes it a little bit. So this part's the easy part. Just a good dice. So that's the top of it. And then the bottom, I'm just gonna cut it in half, take out the seeds. You can actually roast those, they're like pumpkin seeds. But I prefer the butternut squash. And then again, just do big cubes.
Kabocha squash is a Japanese variety of winter squash that is becoming very popular these days, and with good reason, and is seemingly becoming easier and easier to find. Now, they have this round squat shape to them, kind of like a pumpkin, and the outside is very hard and knobby, and it has this rich green color. Now, the skin, by the way, is 100% edible, and then once you cut inside, the flesh is this beautiful yellow-orange color. Now, as for the flavor, it's very sweet, a little bit nutty, and it has this light, almost fluffy texture to it. A lot of people say that it tastes like a cross between a pumpkin and a sweet potato, and I would have to agree that that would be a rather accurate description. Now, because kabochas are winter squash, you're going to notice them start to pop up early October, and then they usually run through most of March. Nutritionally speaking, kabochas are rich with beta-carotene, and we know that because of that beautiful yellow-orange hue. They're also loaded with fiber, iron, and packed with vitamin C and some B vitamins. Now, 1 cup of kabocha squash is just 40 calories and 7 grams of carbohydrate, which is half of what you would find in butternut squash. So this is great for low carbers, but honestly, it would be a delicious, nutritious addition to any type of diet.
We've brought you in recent weeks have been things that you'll think about serving at your Thanksgiving dinner, and I have just a couple more desserts I'm going to bring to you this week, and this is one of those. Pumpkin crunch cake is one of my husband's favorites. He loves pumpkin pie, but even people who aren't crazy about pumpkin pie really like this dessert, so I hope you will too. I'm going to show you how to make it. We're going to start by taking 1 can of pumpkin. We're just going to dump it into a bowl and then add some ingredients to it. I know what you're thinking. When you just dump that in the can, out of the can, into the bowl, it doesn't look that appealing, but don't worry, the cake is going to be delicious, and also add 1 can of evaporated milk. This is a 12-ounce can. I'm going to give it a little bit of a shake. And then we're just going to pour it in. Just like that. Now we're going to take 4 eggs. And we're going to add this. Don't get any shells in there. Sugar. And then we're going to take just about a teaspoon of salt. And I'm just going to kind of measure that in my hand, about like that. And then you want to take either some pumpkin pie spice or the combination of what those things usually are. And that's what I'm going to use today. I have a little bit of cinnamon, a little nutmeg, and a little bit of cloves. And I'm just going to use these instead of the pumpkin pie spice. But if you have pumpkin pie spice, you can use that, about a teaspoon. But I'm going to use this. And so I'm going to, again, just kind of measure these a little bit in my hand to equal about a teaspoon. There's some cinnamon. I'm going to add just a little nutmeg to that. Just a little bit of the cloves, not too much, about like that. And that's going to give us some good flavor in this pumpkin crunch cake. Now we just want to mix this up. And this is so easy to do just in a bowl with your whisk. You don't need to get your mixer out or mess it up or anything like that. It's just really simple, quick, and easy. See? We almost got it mixed up now. I'm going to give it just another quick stir or two. And there we go.